from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You stop giving away your playbook there, guy. That's the coming in hotline. That's what that is.
I did find it interesting, and in some of the calls that we got after the game, like, all of a sudden, same old Browns, as if we didn't make the playoffs last year. As if we haven't made the playoffs twice
in the last four years. Yes.
Like, we've just, well, but there's an asterisk by that one, and that one doesn't count either because it was Flacco. It's like, we've actually had some really good moments. Imagine being a Jets fan in that time. Like, We've gotten to the playoffs. I mean, you just heard Filippone on Around the AFC North talk about not winning a playoff game in how many years for the vaunted...
A very long time. 10. I think it's been a decade.
Yeah.
For the vaunted Steelers.
And so, if you're going to call us and be upset about the situation, fine. But don't act like we haven't seen some fun times or experienced some fun times recently.
I can also take it to do you want me to take it to a nasty level? Because I can always say, yeah, this isn't the same old Browns. I still have $112 million in dead cap, possibly, mm-hmm. and $92 million that a lot of people are hoping come out on the other side out of a lawsuit that's been filed and the NFL doing an investigation. I don't want to do that because that is definitely far from the same old Browns. If it were the same old Browns, I'm already talking about Quinn Ewers this morning. If it were the same old Browns, I'm already talking about Carson Beck. If it's the same old Browns, you and I, without even talking to each other, have started our mental notes against each other about Shedeur Sanders. That, my friend, is same old Browns. This is not same old Browns. It might not be good, but it ain't the same old Browns. That was the coaching searches and offensive coordinators and hearing about general managers or assistant GMs in other cities and up-and-comers. That is same old Browns, buddy. This is not. But it can be far worse, can it? Merry Christmas. 216-474-0092. Do you hear me talk about, obviously you were on the show with me. I talked about Nebraska earlier today. And I asked you real quick, coming back from a break, I said, hey, is Nebraska back? Because I like to dot in some college football while we're doing this. By the way, we got some Gardo's talk coming up in 20 minutes. I like to dot in some college football because you and I and Keith on this station follow college football very, very, very closely. And I said to you, is Nebraska back? And you said, well, it's only been two games. They played UTEP. They played Colorado. Colorado's not that good. And we went down the line. And the marble mouth of Crawford County, Keith immediately goes, no, they're a 9-win team this year. And I went, oh my gosh, that's the definition. Keith, I think, was thinking greatest offensive line in American history, college football, Tom Osborne, Tommy Frazier, 40 wins in a row, that Nebraska football. That's not what I was saying. Back was Bo Pelini. Back was 9 wins. That's what I said was back. Going to bowl games. I don't expect... Now going to a college football playoff. You know, being a team that goes to a decent bowl game. That's what I defined as back. And I said, we're all doing the same thing with Deshaun Watson.
But when Bill Callahan was there.
When we say Deshaun... that was probably a misfire by them. But but you see how a good football coach, you can just have the bad situation if you're a good football coach. Everybody loves Bill Callahan and misses him. And he was in a bad situation over there in Nebraska. It's just a bad fit, I should say. A bad fit. I thought about Deshaun Watson with Nebraska football. Our definition of back are different things. Me, I think Nebraska needs to get to 9 wins. Me, I think Deshaun Watson needs to kind of get back to where he was against Tennessee, where he was against Arizona, where it's nothing that blows your doors off, but you look at it and go, that's a nice stat line, that's good play, and you won both those games.
Efficient
and you
didn't play.
Have to worry. Yeah, that's good efficient play, and you don't have to worry about losing those football games. That's back to me. The 2020 Deshaun Watson is gone, just like the 1990s Tom Osborne Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Are you 100% on that?
I feel very, very strongly about that. Yes, I'm 100%. Love to be wrong.
Am I holding out hope just because I lobbied for him so strongly?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And that's okay.
Because
there's plenty of people out there that are shaking their heads at what I say, going, no, no, no. And I will go, yeah, you guys are denying yourselves the truth.
I've said, like, even the second half against Baltimore, while that was awesome, that wasn't the Deshaun Watson I'm talking about. That Deshaun Watson I'm talking about, we have not remotely seen since he's been in Cleveland. The dynamic plays. If I put up, there is a YouTube reel. I haven't posted it in a while, against the Seattle Seahawks, yeah. And that was the Legion of Boom.
Yep.
Holy cow, was that a different player. It was Patrick Mahomes.
He had one play in the first quarter of Sunday's game where he escaped the pocket and took off, and I go, oh, he's back! And then every other play after that, he went to escape the pocket, and then Micah Parsons.
Yeah, he got tracked down. That's because he was indecisive.
Or he escaped the pocket, and he had an open receiver, and then he clutched. And then he got
sacked. Okay, I have seen a bunch of national people say it's not that he looked bad and missed some throws, whatever, that he also looks like he lost some athleticism. I think it's still too early to say
that. No, I think when he gets out, the lost athleticism, I don't think he's in football shape. He can work out all he wants. He's not in football shape. I mean, the guys out there, there were some guys who are not in football shape. Myles Garrett's a freak. Myles Garrett's going to be a Hall of Famer. So Myles Garrett can take the preseason off. Same thing with
Nick
Chubb.
But even he was breathing heavy in the second quarter.
Yes! The athleticism thing, that's unfair. Give him a couple of games under his belt, if we can stand that much, obviously. Give him a couple of games under his belt. The athleticism, I think, is there.
And against Baltimore, he had a couple of plays in that second half. He showed, that's right. This guy's a freak when he starts running.
But the game conditioning is not necessarily there. That's half the reason these guys play. They got to get their football wind. It's much different. You can work out. You can be a workout freak all you want. But the pacing and the rhythm of a football game, when to get your wind, you know, that takes a minute to get down again. And there are guys who can do it, and they're called Hall of Famers. And there's guys who can't. But what I'm saying about Deshaun Watson, the definition of back. Back then we were talking about Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, back then we were talking about Nebraska football being right up there with Miami, who's also trying to be back. Right? We're talking about them with Georgia now, with Alabama now. These are bygone days. So what's the definition of back? Back to me is a guy who can go to a playoff game, win a couple of playoff games, but ultimately will lose to Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. We'll see. Or, obviously, Patrick Mahomes. And to me, it's much better than the alternative. And it's not worth the $230 million guaranteed. It's not worth your struggle and strife and anger over all this. It's not overwhelmingly worth it. But it's better than what we saw on Sunday. It's better than what we've been arguing about for 8 months. That's my definition of back. My definition of back is Tennessee, Arizona. That's what I want. Efficient play. Work within your offense. Work together with your coaching staff. Use what you have of your offensive line that's good. Maybe Jed Wills will be back sooner than later. And then he will look probably better than what we had over at left tackle. He should look better than James Hudson III. Use your offensive line to your advantage, and you're going to win a few ball games, and you might get yourself into the playoffs. Because I'll take that any day over what transpired on Sunday, where fans lost all hope. And the ones that were holding out started to just kind of wash their hands of the entire thing. 216-474-0092. Coach in Shaker Heights, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Coach.
What's up, fellas?
Hi.
Listen, I don't understand how people expect Deshaun to be back when we watch that man literally run for his life. How was the Dallas Cowboys able to block Myles Garrett, but we couldn't stop Michael Parsons?
Our offensive line wasn't good, but you go back and watch that. He created a lot of those situations himself by holding on to the football.
You hold on to the football because when you're trying to throw the ball, I watched it too. When you're about to make your throw and your receiver's back is to you, okay, and Michael Parsons is coming and your line is not blocking, what were we expecting? I mean, the running back game, that was terrible. We got out-schemed. We were on skate the whole game. We couldn't play no defense. Our defensive line was atrocious. It was atrocious. So my thing is, as a quarterback who's coming back, you're supposed to support him. Just like anybody who's trying to bounce back from anything in life, whether it's addiction or whatever, you got to have a support team. He had no support team for Deshaun Watson. There was no scheme. It was almost dangerous that we just put this man out here. He was running for his life, and Cleveland found a way to blame him. All I heard was all the broadcasters and the callers blame Deshaun Watson.
Coach, I honestly got to disagree to a certain degree there. Like, they didn't play very well. But going back to it, and thank you very much for the call. Like, Dak only threw for 179. Maybe it's only because he only had to throw for 179. You put your defense in bad positions because you went for it on fourth down and weren't able to convert. You only got, what, 2 of 16 on third down? The offensive line was not that good. It was not good whatsoever. The offensive line was not that good. But you go back and you watch it, the one fourth down where he just takes off out of the pocket to the top of the screen, just how you're watching it on television, to the left side, and Amari Cooper standing there. And I'm like, Deshaun Watson last year hits Amari Cooper. That's a first down. That's a first down. And he doesn't even look in that general direction.
And I know that's...
And 67,000 people saw the same thing I did.
There was a
that's
bunch of...
That's not breaking any new ground.
There was, yeah, he had been a magician.
But I'm also saying he's capable of doing that again. He's got to reset himself.
Those are the type of plays. I mean, he was able to make stuff out of nothing, even at his low points in Houston and at times with the Browns. On Sunday, you didn't get any of that. So I am hoping, like I said, the biggest step could just be that the game slows down for him this week. And it needs to.
216-474-0092. Yeah, looking at Twitter. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Where Jared Swope says, so Ken and Anthony, you're saying Watson just needs to become a game manager, so that's worth $230 million in six draft picks? Didn't we have the Baker, Flacco, or Brissett? Didn't we have that in Baker, Flacco, or Brissett? That's not who I want on my team, especially with to deal with all his baggage. Well, that's what you're going to have to deal with. It's not as good as it used to be. It's not worth the investment. And right now, it's not worth all the arguments that we're having with each other online about all the other off-field stuff and all of this stuff on the field. But that's the best of what you're going to get out of it. I got to make the best of a good situation.
I understand the tendency
of a bad situation.
To sit and on every day of the week with your friends or with us or your family, relitigate the Watson trade. Right now, I think we all can agree 1,000%. It's not been a good trade. I don't think we need that's worth 200. No, none of it's worth $230 million. None of it. None of it's been worth $230 million. None of it's come close. The good news is it hasn't really materially harmed them yet. They made the playoffs last year. There's still a ton of talent. I thought they'd have some troubles with the salary cap, being able to have a very talented team. They really haven't so far. Yeah. So the loss of first-round picks, I do think that does creep up on you over time, especially if you don't get steals later in the draft.
Yeah.
And so that's something we're going to have the reality of the next few years.
But if he doesn't play well this year, and I don't know. A lot of you guys are hitching your wagon to what's going on here in the news over the last couple of days. I can't operate in that realm until they actually do operate in that. So the Lisa Friel investigation and that such, until something actually comes of it, I'm looking at him. He's a starting quarterback on Sunday, and he's a starting quarterback against the Giants and so on and so forth. But what this will do to you, doesn't matter if he starts the next how many Sundays this year, or he doesn't even start this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars because of any of that stuff. You go from a first round where you're building with what you hoped was a good quarterback to now, well, we got to talk about quarterback. We got to talk about that guy. Do we draft a quarterback? Do we draft the wrong quarterback in this draft? Instead of, hey, let's go get a big top-end wide receiver. Hey, we're all tired of Jed Wills over here, and I can make arguments all day long. You're tired of Jed Wills? Let's talk offensive linemen. You know, you're building all over again, and then you're chasing because now you're trying to put someone young with guys who are old. And I don't want to be in a chase situation. There are a lot of people out there who, and I think it's an online thing. So I shouldn't say a lot of people. I should say a loud smattering of folks out there who make a very big deal about the attention given towards the Browns versus the attention given towards the other teams in town, especially the Guardians. More on that in just a moment. Because first, folks, the baseball races are going down to the wire, so you can follow all the news on 92.3 The Fan and the absolutely free Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how online at T-Mobile.com/switch. That's T-Mobile.com/switch. Guardians are a young team, right, Tone? Turn your mic down.
Very, very young.
Guardians are a young baseball team. Browns are, I don't know, there's always some metric that makes them one of the youngest teams in the NFL, but it's like by
a
couple
of
days.
Now.
The starting lineup is one of the oldest in the NFL.
So there you go. So they have an old team. The Guardians do not have, with the exception of a couple of guys, Jose Ramirez being one of them, a lot of postseason experience, right? Not a lot of experience in the crunch time. Could this week, they're 5-3 on a road trip. And remember, they're not good against the White Sox. You could sit there and say the White Sox have finally given up. The White Sox gave up on opening day. They haven't been great against the White Sox. Is there a possibility that the attention given to the Browns, the fishbowl that it's become with all this news, everything going on, is a benefit to the Guardians because there's a look over the here because there isn't as much hoopla, as much strong conversation. I mean, people were calling out Stephen Vogt a couple of weeks ago. You know, people are calling out the Lane Thomas trade, how it's the worst trade deadline move in baseball history. These are literal things being said to us on the phones 2 weeks ago. Here they are. They're back with the best record in the American League. They're 3.5 games up, so it's anybody's race still. But this is the time where maybe they can kind of go under the radar in a way because we are so distracted by everything else going on with another team in town.
Boy, I think it's a good
point. There's not as much pressure on.
I think it's a good point because very rarely, I think you'd have to agree, very rarely have the Guardians / Indians ever in this city had the type of pressure that other teams have had. Like when the Cavs got LeBron, there was real pressure there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was real pressure. It's like, all right, LeBron's back. How many years is this going to be? Like, we got to win championships because if it doesn't happen under LeBron, it's never going to happen. With the Browns,
yes,
we know what pressure the Browns face, you know, year after year in this town. So that goes without saying. And that's not to say that baseball hasn't had pressure in certain seasons, but this year they had like no pressure coming into the year. The only one with pressure, I think, at all, I think you'd probably say is Vogt because a rookie manager
maybe
following
now.
Tito.
Didn't have pressure starting off, well, though.
I mean, the pressure of following up a Hall of Fame. Yeah, this city would have been out on baseball for a while had they have gotten to a rough start.
Well, I was worried we were going into a maniacated territory.
Yeah. We remember how demoralizing that was and how apathetic the fan base was.
So
now we're into the playoffs. Like, we are in the stretch run. To think about the fact that I said earlier, we got 5 series left on the year after the White Sox. One of them is a 2-game series against Cincinnati. We've got magic numbers that are now down to
14.
Like, this is the stretch run.
That's what it is.
But yet, every night, you've got football now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You've got other distractions. You've got, now that I'm a parent, I'm starting to, you know, pay attention to other parents that I know and everything, and they're ushering their kids here and there on every night of the week.
Well,
the Guardians might not be top of mind, so the pressure really hasn't been on them.
And think about this, and then I'll let this dog lie. I want you guys to think about this. Now, this is not a shot at any other media outlet whatsoever. I swear to God, I'm not taking a shot. How many purely dedicated Guardians writers are there as opposed to the 90s?
Is there two? Is there three?
I can count off the top of my head two.
There's three.
Three?
Okay. And they even go on the road.
There was close to a dozen when you and I were young here.
Yeah.
Every day. Now, some of those, yes, a couple of them, if you're talking about the mid-90s, a couple of them were Browns writers on hiatus, but for the most part, there were people who were dedicated to the Cavs. That was their beat. They were dedicated to the Guardians / Indians and the Browns. And now, I mean, you have a lot of people that, you know, it's the state of media and the state of print journalism at times is that, yeah, they are primarily known for their Browns writing, but they are dropping in and doing baseball writing. And that's fine. But now that football season's here and the Browns have given them so much content to write about, regrettably in some cases, what do they have to write about the Guardians? They're on the road in Los Angeles, playing on the West Coast. The Dodgers are one of the best teams of baseball, but they were able to keep their heads above water for the entire road trip. They were at Kansas City, so they're playing in a different time zone. And now they're playing the hapless White Sox. How many are out there with that when you have all this going on with Cleveland, where I have to hear head coach Kevin Stefanski right here on the Fan later on today around noon to understand what's going on with this Deshaun Watson situation, where the people who would be covering both are absolutely here to get that story with Kevin Stefanski. So when there's less, and it's not about, you know, less people paying attention, less people liking the Guardians. That's not it. We so many times confuse our excitement and love with attention paid. But now that our attention is paid to something else where you can't not look at this over here, it might be better for a young team to be right there in the nitty-gritty all this, under the radar a little bit, less pressure on them from their own home fans.
Well, they have been 18 games above 500 at home. On the road, you know, they're almost they're three games above 500. Mm-hmm. So obviously at home, and the crowds have been much, much better this year than they have been in a long time. Yes. All those sellouts we had in May, like, that's crazy. That wasn't happening here in Cleveland. So fans got behind them. Then they sputtered. I mean, we'll be honest. I mean, for 3 months, the 500 team, maybe even longer. So they weren't able to continue at that rate. But yet, this is a golden opportunity here because they're still 3.5 games up. They still have a 99.9% opportunity to make the playoffs, according to the metric I'm looking at. Like,
they actually have greater, it says greater than 99.9% now. And there's only three other teams that can say that. It is the Yankees, the Phillies, the Dodgers.
Yeah, so
I mean, they're in the same class as the Yankees, the Phillies, and the Dodgers.
So there is no unbeatable force in the American League. This thing is absolutely wide open, and it's this very strange year in baseball altogether, and your pitchers have pitched, your starting rotation has definitely been much different, you know, over the course of the past month. You're starting to see a rotation that you're like, all right, those guys can handle themselves in the playoffs. That was something I didn't think might be possible a few months ago. Now you got Lane Thomas warming up. If he can get Stephen Kwan to get back at all, like he's not going to be 400, but if he can figure this out, all these listless pop-ups and his vision, he's just not seeing it at the plate.
I thought he was pressing a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think it's made him press more because he knows he has to set the table for the rest of the offense. Them being a run-scoring offense, being able to not just have to, all right, we're going to bunt. All right, like any runner on base was a golden gift over the last couple of years. Well, that was alleviated a lot, and your home runs meant more because you were hitting more two-run home runs later on with hitters 3 and 4 and 5 than you were before because you had Stephen Kwan on base. So you were able to make a bigger impact with your home runs. Like when they hit that valley there a few weeks ago, it was solo home run makes it 4-1. All right.
They're getting down
solo
every game.
Solo home run makes it 4-2. All right. And it was maddening. You're hitting home runs, but no one's on base to really make them count. 216-474-0092. Let me get to Nate in Brecksville. All right, back to the Browns. Hello, Nate.
Hey, I don't think that Deshaun should be the talking point on this week. I think it should be on the play calling and the scheme, both offensively and defensively. First off, Micah Parsons, he should be being double-teamed every single play. Like, there would be multiple plays where he would just not even have a single person on him. He'd just get a free run into the backfield. I think that was ridiculous. Defensively, I know we've got a great secondary. I know we've got some great corners, but CeeDee Lamb, he needs to be doubled every single play. Deshaun, he made some bad throws. He was throwing it out of bounds a lot of times, but the scheme itself wasn't helping him at all. It'd be like 3rd and 7, 3rd and 9, and we'd be throwing 2 yard out.
Well, no, I think Patrick, that was the problem, that they were in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, and against that pass rush, not a lot of plays, especially with your offensive line teetering. Not a lot of plays, Nate. You can necessarily rely on. I mean, that was the huge problem. I thought that they were in those situations to begin with, those penalties to get up. Now, you can blame the coaching for that and whatever, but
they had
10
macro
offensive penalties.
I go macro level with them and go, well, why are they bringing in Ken Dorsey? Who is that to help? Wouldn't hurt him. But, again, that's too much of a theory. I think, and Nate, thank you for the call. I think what Lyme is highlighting is actually right, is that when you put yourself behind the sticks and then it becomes, as Tom Brady said in the broadcast, a pass-a-thon, you're going to have to find more wide receivers that put your quarterback in greater harm. And Micah Parsons was able to just pin his ears back and feast because James Hudson is a swing tackle, and that's the nicest way I can put it. Marcus and Aurora, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, guys. There's a few ironies here. What's funny is the last game that Watson played against the Ravens, right? He was 14 for 14 in the second half, and guess what? It was Van Pelt's offense, and he has arguably his best performance. I'm shaking my head a little bit. And by the way, Alex Van Pelt and the Patriots, they won their game. They beat the Bengals.
They did.
And another irony here is, if they traded, the Texans traded Watson, and one of the reasons they traded him is because their front office and their management was so incompetent. He got his big contract, and then they traded DeAndre Hopkins. If Andrew Berry would have been in Houston running the team, they would have found a way to keep Andre, his receiver. They would have kept him on the team, and he wouldn't even be in Cleveland. He'd still be playing for the Texans. And a little comment on third-round draft picks. You see the 49ers' third-round draft pick is starting at right guard.
And the Browns, no, I did not see that.
Yeah, he's a third-round pick. He's starting, and the Browns can't get a third-round pick on the field. You just got to scratch your head,
Marcus, I thank you very much for the call. We'll see how Zach Zinter does. DeJuan Jones is a late-round pick. DeJuan Jones, he struggled on Sunday, but he's been good.
I wanted to ask you, we didn't get into the nitty-gritty of that offensive line because we just kind of put it under the blanket of it was all bad. I think somebody noted Joel Bitonio had a terrible grade, like one of the worst grades he's had. I think the only one with a positive performance, according to the PFF rankings, was Wyatt Teller.
Greco brought up Bitonio yesterday and said he doesn't think it'll happen again. But, I mean, he is getting – he's, what, in year 10, year 11 now?
It makes me nervous. I'm hoping – I didn't anticipate anybody falling off a cliff this year. We thought, all right, you'll start to see a bit of a decline. We never really saw that with Joe Thomas because he just retired.
Right.
Well, so, I have a world of understanding with Joel Bitonio.
What was it for Joe Thomas?
Yeah.
Well, Joe really never got a chance to fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
Right.
There were times where people were like, oh, I don't know. And it was like, you're forcing it. And then when he basically ripped that tendon off in his arm, like that was it. That was enough of what he had. I don't know what Joel Bitonio is going to have, but clearly – you have to make a decision here soon by the end of the year because you do have Zach Zinter behind him and you drafted him for a reason. 216-474-0092. Let me get to Fred in Cleveland. Hello, Fred.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, I want to leave y'all with something, but I want to start off with saying, here's what's wrong with the Browns, and then here's how we can fix it, all right? What's wrong with the Browns is the Browns continuously put out a poor garbage product. I'm looking at the team just as a product now, not players. I'm sick of looking at individual players. The overall consistency of the product is just it's sometimes barely subpar. It's been this way. The Haslams and every owner before keep selling us on wait till next year. I'm not understanding. I'm a part of this fan base, but I'm going to be real, man. I got to think our IQ level of the Browns fan base, the Browns backers, it can't be too high because I've never seen so many people celebrate weekend after weekend of losing. What are you celebrating? We ain't won nothing. So I think if we change our mentality, we always talk about changing the culture of the players that come to the football team. But I think as fans, we need to change the culture of how we support this team, because we continuously go down the Muni lots. We continuously buy the merch. We continuously do all of these. But as I started to get older and I've seen the rivalries, and as I started to get a little bit older and I'm still living here in Cleveland, and I'm just looking at, we've been doing the same thing, man, over and over.
I will tell you why. On the other side, I got to let you go, Fred.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, we talked a little bit about Coach Deion Sanders yesterday on the Emerging Podcast Scene. Reports earlier in the week said that Sanders requested the band of Colorado not play their fight song whenever his son scored touchdowns in exchange for his son's own theme song, Perfect Timing. However, Coach Prime addressed the reports on Tuesday and did not take it lightly.
Whoever reported that I told the band not to play the fight song, that's idiotic. Y'all know that. When you saw that, you know that was a lie. We got to start having some kind of accountability. Thankful for many of y'all that take your job and your craft serious. Consequently, you get facts before you run with false narratives. Please know that that stuff affects people. Me, you've been attacking me my whole life, so I'm good. But other people that's involved, band members, Buffs, faithful, alumni and all that, sometimes they don't know what to believe. I just would challenge you to be more responsible with your reporting. I never wanted to get personal, so when it gets personal, you got to really think about that. You got to understand, I have a huge platform. I could really get personal if I wanted to, but I choose not to do that because that's not right.
Yeah, like the kids you talk trash about who transferred out of your program over the summer? And a silence came over the crowd.
Yeah, he is...
I didn't know it was going to have that deep of an effect.
No, I was waiting for Anthony to...
He is responsible for all the added scrutiny that the program's getting, correct, for good and for bad. And it was all good last year. He got on 60 Minutes. His program got unprecedented attention, correct, out of nowhere. That was good. You always know, though, what comes with that.
And they won 3 games.
They flamed out.
They won 4.
They flamed out like never before.
I don't know. I forgot.
They won. I think they started 3-1 and ended up winning 4 games.
That loss last year.
I will just say that yesterday, you know, I went on the podcast scene and said I did not believe him when he says he didn't have anything to do with it, right? Or the report that he said he didn't have anything to do with it. And now after hearing him, I still don't believe that he didn't have anything to do with it. Of course, you're going to come out and say, I didn't have it. I don't think that, you know, he probably didn't during the game go, why is the band playing the song over my son's song? But somebody around somewhere, there's a lot of people that talk on headsets.
Yeah.
During that game, I'm sure somebody somewhere that was near the sideline said, hey, we can't hear Shadur's song. We need to hear Shadur's song. I'm just taking that from a experience.
Yeah, but you're an Oklahoma fan. You've hated Colorado a lot.
This is not about Oklahoma or
Colorado. Owen knows.
I play the music in stadiums.
I know, during
college football games. Sometimes there's only a few people there.
Damn it, you beat me to it. Because if no one's there to hear the music, are you really doing it?
Sometimes it's
some.
The 14 parents from Buffalo.
You don't worry about saying it. I'll say those. You don't say a damn word on that one. I don't want anybody getting their panties in an uproar.
And Owen will not play, no matter how many times you request it, the rock and roll song by Gary Glitter. He will not play it at a stadium.
We have a rock and roll night.
The Seventh Floor Crew by the University of Miami National Championship Football Team.
I only do that when Greg Olsen scores a touchdown.
And it's been a long time, and it probably will be a long time further until he does. Yeah, I'm a big Deion fan. I always like to put that eraser phrase up there. You know, everybody knows I've loved Deion since I was a child. Well, if you've listened to the show at all. But it does seem to be too far, but you're just not going to get any favor with, well, I have a big platform, and this could be an ugly thing. I was like, yeah, you and your family were posting people's stats when 100%. They left you.
They were ripping on guys out the door, which was so stupid.
And I'm sure somebody will go, well, he was ripping them. Yeah, you're supposed to be bigger than that. You're not supposed to care about that.
You're a multimillionaire running a serious college football program. Yeah. You want to try to get them back to their proud ways. You don't rip kids. Like, it's just a stupid thing to do.
It's silly.
It makes no sense.
It's silly. 216-474-0092. So Fred in Cleveland had that call, and he said, why do we keep celebrating this? He was very upset. Well, I tell you why. Some of it, I think, this might get deep and philosophical. I don't think it even needs to be that deep. You love football. It's a football region. This is your football team, and you're one of the ones that stayed. You know, we keep hearing about brain drain, people moving out. Like, that's been one of the things about the Browns backers organization that has kind of been a little bit of a backhanded thing by folks. As you go, man, there's Browns organizations all over the world. Why? Well, there's been a long time where the Browns were a team that was shown on television before every game was shown on television, was shown for a long time. But those fans are, I hate to say it, aging out. It's been a long time since that era. But you also have a lot of people that have moved out of the area. And so they're still Browns fans. Well, they're going to watch their Browns games in Mesa, Arizona. Or they're going to watch them in San Diego, California. And they're moving to these places and they create Browns backers organizations. But if you're here, yeah, you're one of the ones who stayed. You're the one of the ones that are trying to make a life here. And football's your favorite sport. It's a once-a-week activity that everybody can get together with. And yeah, this is a disappointing start to the season, but you do have bona fide stars. The best defensive player that has ever played for your franchise that has been around since 1946, nearly 80 years, is playing for your team right now. You get to see the best to ever play defense on your team. Think about that. You get to see, up until this year, and hopefully we get to see him again, the second greatest running back that has ever played for your franchise. And I'm sure there's some people out there willing to argue the best because
I've
of the different generation.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to go that far, but the second greatest running back of your entire franchise's history. I mean, you look at, there are legitimate stars on this team. So I can't even say there's no stars. Like before, there was kind of a joke where Joe's the legend of legends, and we love Joe.
She had no guys that stuck out, but no playmakers.
Were, yeah, there were people who made fun of, like, well, you got to put him on the billboards of the schedule and stuff like that. What other teams have a left tackle, this, that, and the other? It's like, yeah, he's the greatest, but he's an offensive lineman to a lot of people. These are big names. These are superstars. That's why they do it. In tradition. Unlike any other.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.